Well, good morning. I am trying our lapel mic number two. We have been having technical difficulties. Number one. This is actually number one. I don't know. Am I on? Can you hear me? Good. Okay. All right. If it starts to cut out, then we're out of mics. Then I'll have to stand still for another week, and that's not good for anybody. But it's great to see everyone this morning. We are continuing with our sermon series on hearing God, and it reminds me this week I heard a story of a man who came up to his preacher, and he was having a gospel meeting, and it was all a lot of excitement going on, and man, just the message was great, the worship was great, and after this one night of this meeting, a man came up to him and said, "Preacher, I need you to pray for my hearing." The preacher said, "I would love to." So he put his hands on the man's ears and he just prayed, "Lord, open his ears and let him hear." And he just went on and on and just praying over this guy and just feeling the God moving through him. And finally he said, "Father, did all these things, pray in your name, amen." And he took his hands off the man's ears and he said, "How is your hearing?" He said, "Well, I don't know. I don't go before the judge until Wednesday, but I'll let you know how it goes." But a lot of times I feel like that we need to pray for our hearing, not necessarily going before the judge, but our hearing God. And there are a lot of, there are a lot of skeptics when it comes to hearing the voice of God. There are a lot of reasons that we might not be comfortable with this as a subject of study. But for years, we've sang about hearing the voice of God. This morning, we sang, I come to the garden, and he walks with me, and he talks with me. And we've sang that song since I've been a little kid. And we believe that in song, and we've prayed for God to guide, guard, and direct us. Have we not? We've prayed for God to give the preacher a ready recollection. We've prayed for us to hear God. We've sang about it. But for some reason, when we talk about practicing that and hearing the Word of God, it's not something that we are real comfortable with. Even though in Scripture, the Bible tells us in Isaiah 30, 19 through 22, that we will hear a voice. We'll hear a voice. God does not only have a pen. God does not only have a way of recording the written word, but our God has a voice. And his children hear him. Isn't that what Jesus said when he spoke of, "My sheep recognize my voice. They know me." God does not only have a pen, he has a voice. And he's calling us into a dynamic relationship. The reality is that our God wants a give and take. He wants a back and forth. He wants a moving, real, dynamic relationship with his children. And we can't change the fact that throughout Scripture, we read about the fact that our God was, he has been, and always will be a revealer of who he is. That's his nature. His nature is to reveal to his children not only who he is, but who we are. And not only what he does, but what he wants us to do. And how he wants us to go about living and being and moving throughout our lives and bringing glory to him. Our God is a revealer. We talked about last week some truths, and we're going to kind of go over briefly. There are essential truths that make up a foundation of our theology of listening to God. And this, there's a foundation that this is built on. Our listening to God theology is made up of specific essential truths. Last week we talked about them. Central to God's uniqueness is His spokenness. You can look, you can search, you can study all the world religions. In no other religion than Christianity do they boast of a God who speaks. No, there is no other dynamic relationship. All religions talk about how they'll make your life better. All religions talk about how, you know, come and believe this and practice this and it'll put your life and all the pieces back together, and it'll help you have peace, and it'll help you have this, and you'll live a much better life, and you'll get along with your neighbors, and you'll have all this. But you know, no other deity speaks. None. Central to the uniqueness of God is His spokenness. The other reality is, the other foundational truth to hearing God is that hearing God's voice is normal discipleship. It isn't weird. It isn't odd. It isn't unique to preachers or elders or anyone. That normal discipleship is hearing the voice of God. Did anyone else read the book of Acts this week? I got a couple of phone calls and a text and, hey, what was our assignment? I remember hearing something vaguely about an assignment. I said, yeah, read the book of Acts. And did anybody read that? And did you take note of all of the encounters that God had with His people, where He's directing them, whether He's using a voice or an angel or whatever it is, but God's communicating specific instructions to people. Did anybody do that? Now, I'm not asking for a show of hands. I'm just asking, did you do that? And if you didn't, then do it this week. If you didn't read the book of Acts, it's not a long book. Well, it's a long book as far as books of the Bible go, but it's not a long book as far as books, you know, on the bestseller list go. And you can read it all in a day or 2 days or whatever, but go through the book of Acts. And I want to bring up a couple of specific examples. In Acts chapter 8, you have an example of Philip. He's a Christian who's part of those who are persecuted and scattered, and he hears from the Holy Spirit of God. An angel tells Philip to go and to this road. He goes, go to the road that's leading to Damascus. And so Philip says, okay, and he goes. And when he gets there, the Holy Spirit prompts him. He says, you see that chariot over there? Go stand next to that chariot. So he goes and stands next to the chariot. And then we have the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Remember that? What, you know, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip and the eunuch both went down into the water, and he was baptized, and the gospel goes to Africa. Philip was listening. Philip heard the voice of God. Not only in Acts chapter 8, but in Acts chapter 10, you have Cornelius, who is a centurion, who's not even a Christian. And Cornelius hears his name being called. And you know what Cornelius says? He hears a voice saying, Cornelius. And Cornelius says, yes, Lord. Now, the fact of the matter is that I've been in my house by myself with no one else there. And I've never heard my voice or my name called out. But if I did, yes, Lord, is probably not the first words that would come out of my mouth. If I know I'm the only one in the house and I hear my name being called, I'm not going to be the only one in that house. There's going to be no one other than whoever was talking to me in that house. So I'm going to be out of that house. But Cornelius, he was just like this. Okay, yes, Lord. He said, I want you to go, and I want you to go to this place, and I want you to talk to Peter. And Peter's up on the roof of this place, and he's having a vision. And see, Cornelius isn't even a Christian, and he goes and he finds Peter and he talks to him, and Peter's having a vision about things that are clean and unclean, and Peter comes down and he talks to Cornelius and the whole household, and he said, this is what God has told me, that it's okay to share the gospel and to baptize all of you. And then later on in that story, all of those who were with Peter were amazed, not that God was speaking. You know what they were amazed at? That the gospel was available to Gentiles. See, they were amazed at something that we would have been like, of course it's available to Gentiles. Hello, Gentile. But you know what? We're amazed that God spoke. But to them, absolutely God speaks. Acts chapter 15, you know, when they're having an issue with the Gentile problem. And so they write, you know, they talk to the council in Jerusalem, and the leaders of the church get together, you know, because they're struggling with, what do we do about this whole Gentile thing and the circumcision and the not circumcised, and do they do this, and do they have to follow all the Jewish rules and all of these things. And so they come together, the leaders come together, and they pray about this, and they labor over it, and then they say, okay, well here's what we're going to do about this. And in their response, they write a letter back to the churches, and they say, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. I love that. I love that phrase. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit, and we agree that this, and they outline how they're going to deal with the gospel, the Gentile issue, and the following Jewish customs or not. But they said, we've heard from the Holy Spirit on this issue. And this is what is appropriate. And we agree with that. You see, there's a couple of things that I get out of that, out of Acts 15, and that is, That somehow, and I don't know the specifics, but somehow God through the Holy Spirit communicated to those leaders and they agreed. See, it was up to them to agree. They could have said, well, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, but we didn't really think that was a great idea. See, there's an agreement on their part. See, if we don't take up the truths, the biblical truths of hearing God, then otherwise we're not going to believe that it's even possible. And we won't pursue that dynamic relation with Him, relationship. So we have to understand, central to His uniqueness is His spokenness. And it's normal discipleship. These are three examples out of the book of Acts. I urge you, read it, underline it, grab a piece of paper, and every time you hear, and God spoke, or an angel of the Lord said unto him, or the Holy Spirit nudged him or urged him, and all, write those down and just see what kind of discipleship that we had. Because what we do is we claim first century Christianity, do we not? That's what we say we're doing. We want to restore first century Christianity. We have to believe it's the essential truths of hearing God, or we won't even think it's possible. The last thing, the last block of this foundation that I want to talk about, we're going to talk about that this morning for about the next 15 minutes or so, is not only is God's uniqueness in His spokenness, and not only is it normal for us to hear His voice, to hear from God, is that hearing God's voice is a choice. It is a decision of our will. Listening is intentional. Dan said this morning already, he's been accused of selective hearing. Now, guys, I know that Dan is probably the only man in this assembly this morning ever to be accused of that. So we'll have a laying on of hands for Dan later and pray over him that, or is it maybe that Dan's not alone? Lance, have you ever been accused of selective hearing? No, never. Mark? every day, my kids, my wife, oh, you just hear what you want to hear. Yeah. That's the truth, isn't it? Well, maybe we don't, you know, the thing about it is that normally you can't, you can close your eyes and not see anything. But it's really hard to not hear. It's like, it's really hard. If you see words, if you know how to read and you see words, Do you try to read them or you just know what they mean? Isn't that an interesting thing? Have you ever thought about that? Is that you can't, if you know how to read and you see words, you can't not read them. Those are just things that go through my head when I'm driving down the road and I see a sign. I'm like, oh, I didn't mean to do that. You can't not hear something because your ears work in a certain way that it's sort of involuntary. Now you can get distracted on things and all that, but hearing just sort of happens. But listening is intentional. We have to make the decision to hear God's voice. In Ecclesiastes 5:1, Solomon gives us some wisdom on this. He says to guard your steps when you come near to or approach or enter in to the assembly. He says, guard your steps when you go to the house of the Lord. Go near to listen and not to offer the sacrifice of fools. Now, the sacrifice of fools is a lot of different things. You know, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. The fool says in his heart, God does not speak. You know, we say that we come here to offer the sacrifice of our lips. So he's saying, God, I've heard it said this way, God is telling us, shutteth uppeth. And to listen. You know, we'll come and we'll talk. And a lot of times we think this is a one-way conversation. And so, and Solomon says, when you, especially when you're coming to the house of the Lord, when you're assembling as this collective body, be quick to listen. Be quick to as they say, remember in Smokey and the Bandit when, you know, the CB craze, the CB radio, remember that whole 1970s pre-cell phone world when you were trying to find if somebody was listening, what did they say, you know, breaker, breaker, and then they'd say, hey, so-and-so, you got your ears on. Got your ears on. He said, put your ears on. Be quick to listen. So it's a choice that we make. It's a decision of our will. Now, what we're going to do is now that we've laid this foundation, if I'm not asking you in 2 weeks to just say, you know what, all right. If this is a struggle, let's talk. Let's pray together. You know, the more that I think about, the more that I dwell on this, the more that I pray about and meditate on this, the more that I hear. I want to share with you a specific example, and then we're going to get into next week how God speaks. We're going to talk about ways, and everything that I'm going to talk about is going to be found in God's Word. Everything that we talk about is going to be found in Scripture. We're going to talk about ways, the very specific ways that God speaks to us individually and uniquely in our lives. But here's an example. Here's a little taste is that, and I was sharing this with Bob Hayes this morning. As a lot of y'all know, maybe you don't, I don't know, is that 2013 for me was the year of the broken down car. You know, there's the year of the this and the year of that. For me, it was the year of the broken down car. Had two transmissions go out, all kinds of stuff, whatever. Well, I have this van that's got 130,000 miles on it, and it's a great van. We've taken it all over, and the transmission just goes kaputs. So I go get it. I take it and have it fixed. This guy's getting it. He's fixing it, and the van just disappears for like 2 months. It's just gone. I don't hear hide nor hair of it. I don't know, you know, where it is, and, you know, it's just gone. It's just at this guy's shop, and it's just, you know, in a black hole somewhere. And same thing that happened to Troy's truck for like 3 months, 6 months, whatever. So I finally call the guy, get him on his cell phone, and I talk to him. And this was right before Christmas. And we've got this trip planned to go to Missouri for right after Christmas. And so I talked to the guy, and he's like, oh, I promise you it's going to be done on Friday. I'm talking to him like on Wednesday or Tuesday. It's going to be done on Friday. All right. Now, y'all are with me, okay? The mechanic is telling me, I promise your car is going to be fixed on Friday. Worst case scenario, Saturday. Friday comes, I hear nothing. Saturday comes, I hear nothing. We go to Missouri in two cars. I hear from him this week. He said, and a month ago, whenever I talked to him, he said, yeah, it's going to be $1,265, which isn't bad for, you know, whole brand new transmission, okay? I'm like, all right. So yesterday, or this week, when I go to pay for it, I said, okay, it's $1,265. He says, no, it's $1,275. So not only did he have it for like ever and then tell me it was going to be ready and I had to go to Missouri and a whole different, you know, and a whole, now it's $10 more. Oh, I tried to be mad. Oh, I wanted to be mad. And I succeeded for a little while. And I went over there and I was going to say, well, you're not getting your money until, you know, I promise I'll pay you and then I won't call him. Then I went over there and I was face to face with him and he told me how much it was going to be. I wrote him the check. And you know what I said? Nothing. And he said, man, I really appreciate you being patient. And I thought to myself, I wasn't patient. But then I said, oh, yeah, no problem, man. I know stuff happens. The whole time I'm dying. I mean, I'm just, and Vic knew it because she saw me when I left the house. I was stomping like a three-year-old. I'm just telling you, I mean, if you think your preacher's perfect, you're wrong. But by the time I got there, I don't know, Holy Spirit something, because I had so much to say that I had rehearsed, and when it came out, it was like, oh, don't worry about it. And I just drove home like I was, And I woke up the next day, and I was still trying to be mad about it, and I heard the voice of the Lord. He said, what is your problem? He said, Shane, you know it, and I know it. If that van would have been ready when he said it was going to be ready, you didn't have the money to pay for it. Because you know what I do? I go crazy at Christmas. I buy my kids way too much stuff. Don't amen, Connie. Don't do it. I mean, we're going to Missouri. We're going there. If he would have delivered that van when he said he would have, I don't know what I'd have done. Because I didn't have an extra $1,200 right before Christmas. But I do now. God said, you had stuff to drive. And if you didn't, you had people to pick you up and take you where you needed to go. I said, yes, Lord, I know. But it felt so right to be mad. But it felt so good to be calmed by the Lord. And realize, what are you doing? Just get on with your life. And recognize that it was a blessing that it was gone for so long. It's an intentional thing, this listening to God. But there's reasons that we might not hear God's voice. And so I want to take just a few minutes and go through the very real reasons we might not hear the voice of God. The first thing, the first and very most important, is that you might not be expecting to hear from God. How we listen says a lot about our expectations. I have a question. Did you come here this morning expecting to hear a word from the Lord? I talk about our elders and minister prayer on Sunday mornings, and you got to know we're praying, and this morning and a lot of mornings we're, God, please open up the ears of your people. God, prepare their hearts to hear from you. I pray every week, Father, that you would become greater, that I would become less. Father, that you would put me in the background and just put your word in my mouth so that they will hear you, not me. Because let me tell you something. I, Shane Hines, have nothing to say worth your time or energy. But God does. Did you come here expecting in the songs, you know, because Dan, whoever it is, whether it's Dan or Charlie or Bob or Hayden, even the songs, I mean, they spend time and effort and preparing these songs that go together and practicing them and this word and that and this line, and they'll go together. Do you expect to hear the voice of God when you get here on a Sunday morning? You know the kind of people that frustrate me to no end? Oh, even worse than auto mechanics at times. And my granddaddy was an auto mechanic and a transmission specialist, so I'm sure he's up in heaven right now saying, "Watch it, boy." People that have a cell phone and turn it off. I love it when I call somebody's cell phone and it goes straight to voice, doesn't even ring, goes straight to voicemail. My mother-in-law does that. She has the cell phone and she'll call my wife. We'll be somewhere and she'll call Vic and Vic's, oh, and they'll talk about something and then they'll hang up and they'll call and Vic, oh, I forgot that. So she'll call back and go straight to voicemail. She turned it off. She only has her cell phone on when she needs to make a call. Otherwise, she's not expecting anybody to call her. Like, Linda, here's the thing. If it's not on, we can't call you. If we're not expecting to hear from God, our cell phone is off. And there's no communication. So are we expecting to hear from Him? Do we have the expectation of God directing us, calling on us? Number two, maybe we're not expecting it, or maybe we're just not taught to hear from God. In John chapter 5, 37 through 40, you know, one of the amazing things about the ministry of Jesus is if you pay real close attention to it, you realize that Jesus did not spend an inordinate amount of time talking to people who were not Christians, or, you know, not religious people. They were he didn't beat up on the unchurched. He beat up on the churched. And he says of the Pharisees that you diligently search the scriptures, yet you've never heard the voice of God. You've never seen His form and you don't even know Him. What Jesus is telling the Pharisees is that you can be an expert on the subject of God. You can be an expert on God, the subject. But you can be absolutely clueless on a relationship with Him. Be absolutely clueless when it comes to hearing from Him. Which drives the point that hearing God's voice is normal discipleship. That's what He's telling us, is that hearing from God, it isn't about mastering God, the subject, scouring Scripture to know facts and figures and times and places and dates and quotes and all that. It's about knowing His voice, listening to Him. So we're going to talk next week about what it means to be taught. How, you see, Jesus said that My sheep hear My voice. They recognize who I am. The baby lambs need to be taught. Lambs need to be instructed on what the shepherd says and how he says it and when, and to be a normal disciple. And the last thing, and probably the most difficult to deal with, is that we simply do not want to hear from God. There's a couple that were married 50 years, and then their 50th wedding anniversary, their family came to them and said, you know, tell us the secret. You know, Grandpa, tell us the secret of being married for so long. He said, well, it's real simple. Your grandmother was a communications major in college, and I was a theater arts major. So, well, what does that mean? How does that work? He said, well, your grandma is really good at talking, and I'm really good at pretending that I'm listening. See, a lot of times we're real good at talking, and we're also real good at pretending or acting like we're listening. In Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42, is a very, very well used and famous, if any, passage in Scripture is famous, but you know, it's the Mary and Martha. Jesus is speaking. They're at the house, and Mary and Martha, one's doing the cooking and one's doing the listening. And they're saying, hey, tell her to get in here and help me. I'm getting the sweet tea. I'm getting the meatloaf. I'm getting all this ready. I'm getting all this. And he says, look, she has chosen the better. She wanted to hear the voice of God. I'm afraid that so often in our lives that we get so busy, so consumed with all of the peripheral things, whether it be the service, the doing this or going here or doing that, that it's a mask. It's a convenient obstruction to the voice of God, because we know that when we hear God's voice, He will change our plans. The fact of the matter is that when you go through Scripture, when you go through the book of Acts, you will not find one single episode where the voice of God didn't take somebody from where they were and move them to where He wanted them to be. There was a time when Paul wanted to go, and he wanted to go here, and God wouldn't let him. I don't know how that came up, but God wouldn't let him. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him, so he went over there. The Holy Spirit wouldn't let him. Finally, he goes to a region. He had no plans of being there, and it all actually worked out really good for the gospel, not so good for Paul. We don't want to hear from God because we know it'll change our plans. The question is, when does God get our undivided attention? God wants us to know Him, not just to know of Him. And hearing Him. Hearing Him is the means. That dynamic relationship, that's the goal. We have a 1 minute video that I want to show. It's 1 minute, 32 seconds. It's about a girl named Sarah Churman. She's 29 years old. She was born without the hairs in her ear that transmit sound. So she's never heard. She's heard vibrations or loud noises. She came across this surgery where they can implant something in her head that took the place of those little hairs. And this is a video of the... It was a $30,000 operation. They saved, they scrimped, they had it done. So 8 weeks, they had the surgery, and 8 weeks later, they're turning it on for the first time. You see, what I want you to know is that hearing God, it doesn't make you weird. It makes you normal. Doesn't bring sadness. Look at this. Hi, go ahead and hit this video.
It's like so close. There you go. We're not right over it. There you go.
It's beeping.
So now technically your device is on. Can you tell? Oh, that's exciting! Here, you can put it down for a second. Just get used to the sound. What does it sound like?
Do you want to hear myself cry?
Can you hear me? Can you hear your voice? Does your voice sound pretty loud?
No, not really.
Well, that's good. My laughter sounds loud. Yeah, you'll get used to all of that over time. Do you want to hear your husband say something?
I can't think of anything other than joy, unspeakable to hear for the first time. This morning, I'm inviting you into a relationship that God wants with us that He's wanted all along. A relationship that we've sang about, a relationship that we've prayed for. But a relationship with Him that for some, maybe we haven't expected or haven't been taught or just haven't wanted until now. But it's a relationship that brings joy that is unspeakable to those who will listen. Dan's going to come and lead us in a song. We're all going to stand together and we're going to worship as we close our service this morning. And I'm going to be up front, and if there are any issues that you have, any struggles that you might have, anything that's on your heart that you want to pray about, maybe you want that relationship, maybe you want to hear the voice of God and you never have, and you want to confess His name and be baptized this morning and have the Holy Spirit come into your heart, into your life, to help discern the voice of the Lord. Whatever your need is this morning, I invite you to come as together we stand and as we sing.